Shalom, Havarim. This is Dan with my effervescent wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Greetings, saints of God, and may God especially bless you for spending your quality time in studying Yeshua. Let us pray.
Abba, Father, in you alone we trust and glorify, knowing we will soon be called to your throne. Thank you for the water of your word that not only washes us clean, but provides that added protective strength, courage, stamina, and power so very much needed in these last days. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones and those with one foot still in the world to encounter a deep spiritual awakening. We take authority and rebuke all demonic forces that continually tries to alter our righteous path. We also pray for our recent prayer request for miraculous healings. May you supernaturally touch them and keep us all in perfect peace. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen.
All right, so what's the latest on Israel?
Well, lots of turmoil in government between the left and the right.
Kind of like we have here.
Benny Gantz, which is our President Biden's buddy, is threatening for his national party to quit the coalition unless Netanyahu comes up with a stay after plan. Because the left wants the PLO, or the Palestinian Authority, to rule over Gaza.
But, you know, they tried that back in 2005.
Right, when they pushed all the Jews out of their homes, kicking and screaming, I might add. And what happened? Not long after, Hamas joined in with the PLO, eventually pushing them over to the West Bank, leaving Hamas in charge of Gaza.
Which was their plan all along.
And is what will happen again if Israel does not continue their efforts in Gaza.
Are you thinking an Arab country could oversee the PLO in Gaza?
Probably, but Netanyahu wants to wait and not inform the enemy of his future plans or give more fodder to Biden and the international community, who, by the way, wants to arrest Netanyahu and Hamas leader both for genocide, insinuating they're both guilty.
Well, you know, this will go nowhere.
Agree. In fact, Speaker Johnson has threatened to impose sanctions on the ICC if they take any further action.
Meanwhile, the war continues.
And the IDF keeps slowly moving inward from the eastern side of Rafah. And even though almost a million Palestinians have now left that area, in order to appease Biden, they're still not going to conduct a full-scale attack. And they use precision-type weapons.
But making significant progress.
They are. They actually found 700 tunnel shafts. That's a lot. And 50 were leading into Egypt.
So obviously Egypt is helping Hamas.
And maybe even holding some hostages.
And then there's the Hezbollah up north.
Right, who continues shelling northern Israel daily, whose many citizens are still out of their homes. But at least in very nice hotels paid by the Israeli government.
On the shores of the Dead Sea.
Yep, that are now at full capacity. And that's a high tourist area. So it's booked in advance. So if that's you out there, check your reservation. And you have probably seen the pictures of Russia's Putin and China's Xi actually hugging on camera. And that's a first for Xi. He usually just shakes hands.
Yeah, it's not a good sign.
You think? And Washington has sent their condolences to Iran, whose president died in a helicopter crash, while their people actually celebrated in the streets.
Yeah, we even shared a moment of silence.
I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
Okay. You can contact us either by email to Sheila at shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Love offerings are greatly appreciated, and we'll add you to our mailing list for news, the updates, and biblical teaching. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your continued learning pleasure.
All right, so the traditional Pentecost was last Sunday, May 19th, although the Essene calendar says it's June 2nd, and the Hebrew calendar calculated to be June 12th.
Which we know that is wrong.
Well, we do, because that date is actually during the week, and Scripture clearly states it must always be on a Sunday.
Which would be the 9th of June.
However, my own calculations shows actually this coming Sunday, and that's from counting from the Sunday following the 8 days of Passover on the Essene calendar. But the real point here is, you know, it's just like Christmas. Jesus fulfilled the fourth of the seven feasts of the Lord.
Just as he fulfilled his first three appointments.
This fourth appointment came with the obvious infilling of the Holy Spirit that we read about in Acts chapter 2.
Three more left to be fulfilled.
Yep, which arrive every fall when us true believers get very excited, anticipating his calling us into the clouds. Maybe not this year, but 2025 begins the 10th and final jubilee according to the Essenes. And even Pope Francis is having a special celebration for it in Rome. We did detail the spring feast recently, so I'm just going to do a quick overview. But Jesus fulfilled Passover by shedding his own blood for our sins on Passover, which historically in Egypt, the blood of a lamb was applied on their wooden door frames,
sparing them from death.
Then about 12 centuries later, Jesus took our sins to the grave on the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Historically, the Hebrews left Egypt's sinful world to a new and escaped their enemies through the Red Sea.
Yep, to a new life, honey. You said it right first time. And then he arose on the Feast of First Fruits of the barley harvest.
Historically, when they escaped their enemies through the Red Sea.
Yeah, representing new life for them. You know, Jesus broke the enemy's power over us by his resurrection. And Paul confirms Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection.
1 Corinthians 15:20.
And we are next in line. So, we now have power over the enemy, which is magnified through his word.
And you cannot just pray it on.
Right. The whole armor of God is only applied through time spent in his word.
Amen.
Actually, the armor, as I've said many times, coincides with achieving total sanctification in spirit, soul, and body.
As we have discussed.
Yeah, we have.
Many times.
Because it's important. Anyway, 50 days after he arose, he sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, and we credit that awesome event to the official birth of his church.
As his betrothed bride.
Yep. As the Hebrews did at their first Pentecost at Mount Sinai, 50 days after the Red Sea miracle. The Hebrews were given a new life, set free from slavery. This is when God betrothed them to himself, telling them what he expected and what he promised as well.
Which we also have today in his word.
Yep. So four historical appointments were later literally fulfilled by Jesus. And we can assuredly know that Jesus will keep the last three appointments scheduled some fall season soon. Because we are the last generation which began with the rebirth of Israel. So again, the Feast of Pentecost is always on a Sunday. Honey, can you read that in Leviticus 23, beginning in 15?
And you shall count for yourselves From the day after the Sabbath.
Of course, it's Sunday.
From the day that you brought the sheath of the wave offering.
That would be on the Feast of First Fruits of the Barley, also always on a Sunday.
Seven Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain.
Meaning the wheat.
Offering to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pentecost celebrates the first fruits of the wheat harvest, also called Feast of Weeks, or in Hebrew, Shavuot. And this feast became known as Pentecost because of the 50 days, since Pente means five. Please finish verse 17.
Ye shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two-tenths of an ephah.
Now that's a standard of measurement in those days, and it equals about a gallon of grain.
And they shall be of fine flour.
Simply means sifted.
They shall be baked with leaven.
Yeah, notice with leaven.
They are the first fruits
of the wheat
unto the Lord.
Again, 50 days after escaping Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, God gave Moses and the Hebrews his Torah commandments to include how to remember the feast as well and his promises if they would remain faithful to him only. On this first ever Pentecost day, the sound of a trumpet for all, even the neighboring nations, to hear it. And it came from the top of Mount Sinai.
It was the first shofar ever sounded in the Torah.
Exodus 19. Thus, the expression first shofar became an often used expression for this feast. Again, this first Pentecost at Mount Sinai was a betrothal covenant, an oath between God and his people. In Exodus 24, the people answered and said, all the words that Yahweh has said, we will do. Same with us. When we become born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding, except in the case of adultery.
Well, which they soon committed.
Unfortunately, while Moses was up on the mountain to receive the written law on tablets of stone, and it was nearing 40 days, the people grew impatient.
So they wanted to add another god to represent them.
Right, because they thought Moses might not return. So they would add something visible, not necessarily to replace, but to go along with. Remember, they were coming from Egypt that had many relics, statues, and different gods, and much of that was still ingrained in them.
Yeah, you know, most religions want a more visible god.
Yeah, so they make statues like Buddha, even statues of Jesus and Mary, even though the second commandment forbids it by stating, no likeness of anything in heaven will be made, and certainly not to bow down to them. Anyhow, the Hebrews made and were worshiping a golden calf when Moses returned from Mount Sinai,
where he rebuked them big time.
So much so that 3,000 Hebrews fell by the sword, which, by the way, was directed by God himself.
Exodus 32, 27, and 28.
And hundreds of years later, Jesus, after his resurrection, was seen for 40 days before ascending to his Father. And he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem.
For 10 more days.
Mm-hmm, because on the 50th day from his resurrection, he would keep his fourth appointment by sending them the Comforter on the anniversary of the first Pentecost of Exodus 19. As we read in Acts 2, could you read that starting in verse 1?
When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
You know, tradition says that on the first Pentecost, that God could be heard all over, spreading to other nations, where each could understand in their own language. How fitting that over 1,000 years later, as we just read, the people spoke in other languages, so those who came from other areas, you know, like the Persians, the Romans, Egyptians, Arabians, etc., could also understand too.
Well, you know, only God could set it up that way.
Well, for sure. And the unbelievers were amazed. You know, and Peter started preaching, and 3,000 got saved, the same number who were killed for the calf incident from the first Pentecost.
It's like God replaced them.
And this was not all done in the upper room, by the way, as some have taught.
We should, we should talk about that.
Well, we do know from Acts chapter 1 that the same day of Jesus' ascension, they went back to Jerusalem from Mount of Olives and entered an upper room. But it does not say they remained in the upper room for 10 days, nor does it say they were in the upper room in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost.
But rather that they were together in one place.
Now, I know the passage can lead you to think it was still in the upper room because in verse 2 it is called a house. The Greek word is oikos. And it's the same word that Jesus used when he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer." He did refer to the temple as his house. Therefore, oikos is also a word used for temple, as in Luke 11. And actually, think about it. 3,000 souls repented. Common sense says it had to be outside.
In the outer court of the temple.
Well, of course. And we just thought that was important to clarify to everybody.
Why, otherwise, skeptics might say the Bible couldn't be true.
Good point. Notice also the divided tongues of fire. It doesn't just say tongues of fire, but says divided for a reason. And I have seen many pictures where these divided tongues of fire looks just like God's initial.
Called the Sheen.
Yes, the Hebrew letter that begins the word Shaddai, and to our eyes looks like a fancy W. God was putting his name on his believers. It was his seal, and Ephesians 1:13 does say we are sealed with the Holy Spirit.
And Ephesians 4:30 and 2 Corinthians 1:22.
And the same sheen is embedded into the landscape of Jerusalem with the three valleys that from the east looks like a W. We've got the Hinnom Valley on the left side.
The Kidron on the right side.
And the Tyropian up the middle. Knowing this important piece of information helps you really understand what 1 Kings 11:36 and Deuteronomy 16:2 is telling us. You know where God said to his people they were to make sacrifices in the place where I have chosen to put my name?
There are aerial pictures of this on our webpage.
Yes, without buildings, so you can clearly see it.
And you can print it out.
You can. As well, the letter Sheen is on all important implements in Israel, and all Jewish homes have a small container called a mezuzah on their doors with a sheen on it that houses the Shema of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. You know the one that begins with, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," etc.
It's their most important prayer.
Yeah. And God told them to put this scripture on their houses and on their foreheads and arm as well, and teach it to their children.
And they do.
Also remember, God told the Israelites that during the spring feasts, they could only eat unleavened bread.
Yeah, leaven was always a typology for sin.
Always. But Jesus was without sin, the unleavened bread from heaven, who would take away the sins of the world. That's why on the day of Pentecost, they were now allowed to eat leavened bread because it symbolized the future Messiah who would take away the leaven and putting our sins in the grave, and he did. And now we are free from the bondage that sin produces. So now, instead of offering one sheaf, like at Passover, they were to offer two loaves of now leavened bread.
Leviticus 23:17.
Representing that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace. Pentecost reinforces his New Testament promises to us. Sin and its consequences are no longer a burden to carry. Also, the Jewish people read the Torah more intensely during Pentecost. Why? Because it commemorates the day they received the Torah. And another tradition, which began later, is the reading of the scroll of Ruth as well. Besides the fact she was King David's great-grandmother, it tells the story of a Gentile falling in love with Israel and accepting their covenant they had received on the first Pentecost. The Gentile Ruth marries the Jewish man Boaz.
A picture of our marriage to Jesus.
Yes, our kinsman redeemer, who redeems back the land that her mother-in-law Naomi had to forego when they left Bethlehem.
As Jesus will redeem back the earth for us.
This story is a great type of how we, the church, are to feel about the land of Israel too. Both Jews and Christians have very valid reasons to read the book of Ruth, especially during this season, also called the Feast of Weeks, as it is 7 weeks from First Fruits. The story of Ruth takes place during the season between the barley harvest and the first fruits of the wheat. How appropriate, although not realized, that Jews picked this particular story, which is a type of us who clings to Israel, and to read this during Pentecost. Of course, the birth of the church is our being grafted into the olive tree, a symbol for Israel, and actually shares the state's seal with the menorah that sits in the middle of the two olive branches. And you know, Revelation 1:20 says the menorah, which is called the seven golden lamps, is a symbol for the church. Did you know that? And it says in, it also, we also know from the Old Testament that it stays lit 24/7. Is your light lasting 24/7? Of course it is. Anyway, I have a pendant necklace of Israel's state seal that I often wear. But we are to embrace Israel like Ruth did. For now we are no longer just a Gentile, but a born-again believer with a new name called Christian. And one day all Israel will be saved and have the name of Christian as well. Please get a hold of that. And you can also see that in Romans 11:26 and Galatians 3:28. Also, in our generation, Pentecost marks the anniversary of the end of the Six-Day War when Israel won back Jerusalem in 1967. Anyway, do you know Jesus? Is he personal to you? You can invite him in right now. He is your Savior who has totally paid your debt for your sins. Grab it now while you can, unless you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself. Always your choice. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.